Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Sandra and I visit England, which seems to be about once a year now that her mother is 95. She looks forward to us coming, and we look forward to going, even though it costs a lot to go. We still look forward to the adventure. And every time we're in England, we go to great cathedrals, it seems. It is a magnificent experience. How many people have knelt in those cathedrals, which took hundreds of years to build? How many people have been married there, celebrated the birth of a child there? How many people have had funerals in those halls? How much life has taken place? You know, long before there was radio or television or movies or cell phones or computers or anything that we currently take advantage of and take for granted of today, there was the church. The church was the hub. Sandra and I were watching kind of a thing yesterday on television. It showed an ancient church here in Texas. And that church has been here since the Alamo. It's been here a long time. And it was a church that still didn't leak, and they still had the pews inside, but people had abandoned the church, and they talked about the funeral place that was there and the graveyard that was just outside. And Sandra and I in England have walked by the gravestones of people who died hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and even 1,000 years ago. How much life went on. These magnificent buildings where the laborers didn't ever get to see the completion of the building. You know, those who began the foundation never saw the wonderful steeples, never heard the bells, never saw any of the life that took place in that wonderful place. Didn't see it, nor their sons. Their sons didn't live to see it, and yet they worked as well. Even their grandsons didn't see it, and they worked as well, or their great-great-grandsons didn't get to see the completion of what they had begun. That's the way those buildings were built. It is magnificent to look at the stained glass and the huge stones and to wonder how they, with little technology, could achieve such marvelous things. And every time we go to England, there are houses that were just thrown up, you know, apartment buildings and things after the war. They were just thrown up hastily, and they were thrown up, and they are now being torn down. Their usefulness as a shelter has run its course. It's kind of like that with life. You know, you can really put an effort into building your life, a life that will have its repercussions generation after generation after generation, long after we're gone. Or you can build a life that's just a mess, that's torn down quickly. Those are the choices that we make. It takes a lot of effort to build a quality building, the kind of building that Jesus inhabits. See, Jesus is not in those great cathedrals. As a matter of fact, we went to see Coventry Cathedral one time, and we saw the new Coventry Cathedral. And it is grand, and it is wonderful building, but we didn't feel Christ there. It wasn't until we walked out into the ruins of the old cathedral that tears began to fall from our face, because we could feel the Spirit of God in that place. You see, Jesus said that He does not dwell in houses made of stone. He dwells within us. And so it takes a certain kind of skill to build a successful life. That word that we use, skill, today, is translated in the Bible wisdom. Wisdom. Let us go before the Lord and ask for wisdom today. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, and we ask that You would send Your Holy Spirit to impart in us a sense of wisdom. Give us wisdom, Father. Solomon asked, what would he want? And he said, wisdom. We want wisdom too. We want the skill set that we need to go through this life. So, Father, please bring it today. And, Father, if there's anything that I would say that would in any way divert people from what You would say to their hearts, then cast it out, throw it away, burn it up, because it's nothing. Only the words that You speak to our hearts are valuable words. Words to cling to. Words to build our lives on. And so we ask, Father, send Your Holy Spirit. Be here with us. Be with those who listen to us on the internet or on Roku. Be with all of us today, Father. And give us the skill set that we need to better serve You. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us look at Proverbs. You know, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs emphasizing the supreme value of wisdom. He said wisdom was worth more than silver or gold. It was the most important thing you could have. And he urged his readers, he urged them to put aside everything else, but to get a hold of wisdom. Imagine Solomon in his study. His mind is full of all kinds of life skills that he wants to put down on paper. He wants to share these with the people. This has been given to him by God, and his mind is just filled with things he wants to say about how you can live a more successful life. Isn't that the way you feel? Your children and your grandchildren, they do things, and we kind of sit back and we watch them and we go, oh my goodness gracious, how did that happen? And yet, we want to impart, we want to tell them our own experience. My daughter called me yesterday. One of her professors, when she was getting her master's degree, had died. And it was obvious that she was having some difficulty with that death because she's a very sensitive person. And I utilized the techniques that I have learned being a chaplain for 15 years for the police and fire department, how to address the inevitability of a loss in your life. And you want to be able to share that. There's something deep within you that hurts when they hurt. You think that God doesn't hurt when you hurt? He wants you to know. He wants you to have that wonderful thing called wisdom. Now, Solomon is pondering the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And there is a huge difference. Today, we have lots of knowledge. We know more about everything than we've ever known before, but we have very little wisdom. You can have any kind of degree you want. You can have a doctor's degree and this and that and the other. You may have 18 different doctor's degrees and have a real difficult time putting your own life together. You may be a genius in technology, but you're totally bankrupt when it comes to life skills. You know, I'm reminded because my first love was physics. And because of that, I really said the greatest physicist in the world is Einstein. Einstein made mistakes. Einstein used to wear a white smock when he was at Princeton University. A white smock. And it would get smellier and smellier and smellier. And he didn't know why. He had grown accustomed to the smell. He didn't know. that he had left an egg salad sandwich in his pocket for over 3 months. He didn't have any life skills. The man knew E equals MC square, backwards and forwards. But when one of his students said, "Professor, you know you're always coming in with pieces of toilet paper on your face where you shave. If you will use this tube of shaving cream, which I'm going to give you, then you will find it causes less friction and you have less cuts." And for about a month, there wasn't a cut on his shaven face. Not one. And then he came in and he was covered with toilet paper again. He couldn't figure out that once the tube was empty, he should buy another. He didn't have any common sense. Something that we get from God. Now, as Solomon is thinking, he's seeking God's insights. What can I tell these people, God? What can I tell them that will change their life? What can I tell them that will equip them with something that they can utilize? What can I do? And so as he's sitting there pondering, he looks out the window and he sees something. In Proverbs 7:6-7, it tells us where he was looking. He says, "For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple," and he means by that, us. He said, "I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth, a young man, devoid of understanding." Right out his window, he saw a guy just drifting along. He didn't have any particular place to go. He didn't have any particular thing to do. He was just drifting along. And it says in verse 9 that, and 8, it says, "Passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there was a woman met him with the attire of a harlot, a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face, he said to him, 'I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face. And I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. For let us desire ourselves with love and delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey.'" Oh, my. My, my, my. What does Solomon see? He sees this guy who's drifting. He's drifting in the way of a certain woman. And that woman, she comes out to meet him. And the woman is making a play for this young man. I mean, she's going after this drifting person. And she takes hold of him and kisses him and promises that there's more to follow. She is very affectionate. She must have made the man feel special. He had just been drifting. But here she comes, and she wants him. She basically is waiting for him. She tells him, "Hey, you're the one I've been waiting for all my life. I've been waiting for you." Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, he was flattered. No doubt he was enchanted, kind of excited. He hadn't felt like that before. And Solomon tells us in verse 22, "Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to slaughter or as a fool to the correction of the stocks." This guy just sold out. He went with the woman. He didn't count the cost. He went like a lamb to the slaughter. His hunger and his feelings led him to take advantage of her. It did not occur to him to ask the question that I hope anybody would ask. Where is this going to lead? You know, I mean, is the husband going to come back? Is the husband going to find out? What does she really want from me? I don't have very much money. Is she going to take that? What? Who is this person? She's a stranger. But instead, he just followed dumbly. Now, there are danger points that lead us to the road of destruction. Solomon teaches us to watch out if we're going to avoid these kind of perils of foolishness. And it happens to all of us. It happens to everyone. It happened to someone after God's own heart. The peril of drifting. King David was just drifting around the palace. I mean, the army went out. He wasn't at the head of it. He wasn't in charge. He was putting that on other people. He had put that away. And then he was not even doing the administration of the kingdom, which you would have thought would have taken his whole time, especially when his army was at war. No, he was just kind of drifting around without any purpose, not going any place particular. And he looks out his window and he sees a woman bathing. And that led to adultery, which led to murder. This was a man after God's own heart. David allowed the peril of drifting to ensnare him. When you're just drifting, you're in danger. Maybe some of you are just drifting through life. You don't have a purpose. Sandra and I went to a person this last week who's a financial counselor, and we went over there because we wanted to find out if she could retire. And the person was very good, and she had three sayings. She said, now, in retirement, there's the go-go people, and then there's the slow-go people, and there's the no-go people. And that more or less describes not just people who are older, but people everywhere. They're the go-go people, they're the slow-go people, and they're the no-go people. I won't go down to play bingo because it takes too much effort. I won't go and see my child in a performance or an athletic event. It just takes too much. Yeah, that's what he's seeing. You see, when we just drift through life without a purpose, we're in danger. The old coaches used to tell me, you either use it or lose it. And that was true. I mean, and as I've gone older, I've found out that that's really true. If I don't use it, I lose it. And the muscle tone and things like that, if you're not constantly trying to strive forward, you're slipping backward. So that first peril is just drifting through life. Then there's the peril of impulse. Many of us have said, well, I just felt like, and you add whatever that is. I just felt like doing that, or I just felt like staying at home, or I just felt like turning a deaf ear to what the pastor was saying, which most of you do. Whatever it is, I just felt like it. The problem with living with your feelings is that feelings are like the wind. They are driven by every kind of emotion. They're driven by anger and by hatred and by greed and by faith and by love and by pride. They're just driven. They drive us everywhere. We have no rudder. We can't steer. We're just there. It's kind of like people who are trying to plow a furrow. You know, a straight furrow? God talks about it, and Jesus talks about it. He says a man who's drawing a furrow in the ground to plant his seed, he needs to make sure it's straight. Well, many of us, because we're just driven by impulse, are like a furrow driven by an animal that has mad cow disease. It's just all over the place. It's a mess. How many times have I heard about children and grandchildren, their lives are a mess. They have no purpose in life. They're not getting from point A to point B in a straight line. They're wandering all over the place. They're just drifting around. They're driven by impulses. And the third thing is that we never consider the consequences. Now, I know that the moment I say consider the consequences, most of you think about politicians because they don't have any foresight at all. They're blind as a bat. They borrow money and get us deeply in debt in order to give that same money that we've just borrowed to people who hate us. Solomon says that this young man was making a decision without counting the cost. Listen, the decisions that you made yesterday are affecting you today. The decisions you make today will affect you tomorrow. You live by those decisions that you've made. They are important. And you may think, well, I didn't take my medication today. You're going to pay for that. You may think, well, I just took a day off. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I just used the day all for me. You're going to be accountable for that. God's going to make us accountable for everything we've done. Now, how are you going to learn these skill sets along the way? Well, there are ways to learn how to stop drifting, how to stop being driven by the tides of impulse, and how to ask the right questions about your decisions so that you're committed to a clear purpose. You're going to stop making the decision to allow yourself to drift. You're going to say, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be doing something. God called me for a purpose. What am I doing this for? This is a waste of time. I need to be in line with God and in step with God. You're going to say, wait a minute. I'm being driven by my anger, by my impulses. I have my hunger for this or my desire to have that or whatever. I'm being driven by it. It's beginning to take control of me. I decided I needed a big screen television. I need that big screen television. Why? Before you know it, you're paying to Sears and Roebuck and it has control of you. You're having to watch it because it's all you've got. You have to make the right decision. And you have to allow your choices to be guided by the Word of God. Chapter 9, verse 10 in this book says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the very first step in putting your life together in an appropriate manner, is that you let God be God in your life. He leads, you follow. Let me say that again so that nobody can get out of here without knowing this. God leads, you follow. God is the creator, you are the creature, God leads, you follow. That's the first thing you have to understand. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where life skills begin. When you let God take His place as Lord of your life. You're at the starting point of putting your life together with a skill, with a wisdom that allows you to say yes to God and no to the world. When your life becomes a sacred trust given to you by God, and when you realize that your life is a sacred trust, then you realize that you are the steward of a sacred trust. That you have to do certain things because He has given it to you. Then you're not living the moment of drift, or you won't go with the tide, or you won't go with the flow of the impulse, you won't be submitted to the feelings but you'll look for the will of God. Look at Jesus for a moment. Jesus didn't just live for the moment. He wasn't just drifting through life. He had a very clear purpose about what his job on earth was. He was to bring us to salvation. He was to give us a knowledge of what we needed to do to repent of our sins, to allow him to pay the price. He had a clear purpose in his life. He did not drift. He did not go with impulse. Oh, when Satan pulled him out there and tempted him on the mount, and he was tempted for 40 days, the Bible says. He was tempted. Oh, all this can be yours, and you'll never have a problem. This is wonderful. Go with your feelings. Jesus went instead with obedience to God. He lived his life that way. And whoever tried to tempt him, he would say, "Get behind me, Satan," as he said to Peter. He didn't just live for the moment. He didn't drift. He made a choice of obedience, and that choice has brought blessings to all of us and generations to follow. Christ invited all of us who make poor choices, dumb mistakes, to come unto Him. That's what Jesus asked us to do. To come unto Him just like we are, filled with the stupidity that led us astray, filled with the impulses that we had that we felt like were just human, filled with all those drifting kinds of ways that we came into here, maybe just drifting. I'm just drifting in. Jesus says, "Come to me. I'll give you a clear purpose for your life instead of drifting. I'll give you obedience instead of your feelings that are driving you. And I will answer your questions." He invites all of us to come to Him. Come with all of our regrets, and He gives us wisdom. The skills you need to manage your life, He will come and enter your life. He will come and allow His life to take predominance in yours. Not me, but Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He will allow His Holy Spirit to guide and direct you and provide you with the power to live a life that's not wandering, that's not drifting, a life with a purpose, a life that you will hear awarded one day. When Christ looks at you and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done."
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street, in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.